You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Thursday morning, July 3rd, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the app or on social media. We appreciate you starting your day, and for me, ending your work week right here. I got a question for you. Who all is joining me for cake later today? Because this is what 61 looks like. This is what 61 sounds like. And this is what 61 feels like. I will say this much. After years and years of reporting, and thank you, Alicia, for being first on the birthday greeting. After years and years of being the guy, the reporter who stayed up and covered these all-night sessions, and then for a short time being the guy that attended a couple of those all-night sessions, it's really nice to sleep and then wake up and go, I wonder what happened during those all-night sessions. Unfortunately, it's meant the last hour has meant a lot of cramming, because a lot actually did happen while those of us of a certain age went to bed early. And so we're going to tell you all about it. Here are the headlines, because, again, we have both state and federal budgets that are hanging on out there. And both progressed. The state budget passed the state Senate at about 9, a little after 9 last night, passed the assembly around 1 a.m., and the governor signed it into law at 1:30 this morning. Why the rush? Because of the federal bill that Congress is dealing with, that the Senate, still somewhat surprising to me, passed because, you know, Ron Johnson and others caved after saying, oh, I could never support something like this. Some because it cut too much, some because it cut too little. But the Senate, the ones who were talking all tough, caved. Went back over to the House, and there were Republicans there who said, no, the Senate can't tell us what to do, until they did. And a little before 5 a.m. Eastern time, the last of the holdouts caved, and the bill passed the House. And so Donald Trump will get his big, beautiful photo op in time for the 4th of July to sign something that is going to be so fundamentally bad for this country and for so many Americans who have no idea. They have no idea what is about to be crammed down their throats. And so it's not the greatest of birthdays that I'm going to have to share it with that. You know, this federal budget passing and a state budget that was far from perfect, but did have to get passed and signed at 1:30 in the morning, in part because some of the language in the federal budget bill would have restricted the way that the state can raise some funds to help pay for health care. And so the state had to rush and get their budget signed first to be able to take advantage of the current funding formulas before they become one of the many, many, many casualties of Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. So, and interestingly enough, Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden found a way to play both sides and, you know, being all rah-rah for the bill, and yet at the same time sending a letter to Governor Evers saying, I don't know if you know this, but this thing's a turkey. And you need to pass your state budget real quick before this thing comes and does some really bad stuff. But I'm voting for this bill. And he did. And again, a lot of Republicans know better, you know. But it is going to move along. Alicia rightly notes that Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is still talking on the House floor. And that's true. The final vote has not been taken. The vote I'm referencing overnight was what's called a rule allowing the bill to come up for a final vote. But it was that rule that was like the last holdout. There's, again, I might eat my words, but there are none of those Republicans who caved on the rule are now going to suddenly find their spine and vote against the bill. And yeah, even as jaded as I am after all these years, I actually believed some of these so-called conservatives. I actually believed some of these so-called deficit hawks that they were going to stand up to this. That when Ron Johnson tells you a couple of weeks back, this thing adds $3 trillion to the deficit, I am a no. But then the bill is changed and it adds almost $4 trillion to the deficit and he's a yes? You can see where people talk about, you know, how, you know, Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. And that's how it works. So that's a quick overview of what has been happening over the past 24 hours in Madison and in Washington, D.C. Although, as Alicia says, I was lucky. I had the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision yesterday, too. Oh, yeah. By the way, right here, live on our program, people who heard me talking with Earl Ingram heard me stammer and pause, trying to ask Earl a question, and then finally just say, Earl, I'm sorry, I got to stop. There's some breaking news here. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has thrown out the 1849 law that some people construed as an abortion ban, just threw it out, and said, look, there have been so many other laws passed since then that regulate abortion that they have rendered the original law completely pointless. It's superseded by all the other things. So essentially, Wisconsin is back to Roe v. Wade times, where, you know, abortion is banned at roughly 20, 21 weeks, which again is not, you know, it does not give women all of their reproductive rights back, but it, if the Supreme Court 3 years ago in the Dobbs decision turned the country into a great big checkerboard where some women have rights and some women have restrictions, we have at least restored the rights to where they were more or less right before the Dobbs decision. And we may check in with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on that at some point today, who was very satisfied with the decision. It didn't go all the way as far as some healthcare advocates wanted. Planned Parenthood also filed a separate lawsuit and asked the state Supreme Court to also declare that there is a constitutional right to abortion care. When you look at the language of the state constitution, the state Supreme Court threw out the 1849 law, but they also threw out that second lawsuit and said they were not going to rule on whether there's a constitutional right for this. So in some ways, the fight more or less still goes on in that every election will deal with women's reproductive health rights. The Supreme Court said yesterday, look, we're throwing out this law, but the legislature ultimately still has the power to make law. They have made laws since 1849 that supersede the original law, and they can make laws in the future that either restrict abortion rights further or restore women's reproductive health freedoms. So when we talk about, you know, the next election is the most important one, well, it will be again for the foreseeable future, because look at what happened yesterday. The election of 2018, when Governor Evers beat Tim Michaels, gave us a budget bill signed this morning that wasn't perfect, but think of what it would be like with a Governor Michaels. So that 2018 election mattered, as did the election that elevated Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, leading to the 1849 statute being thrown out yesterday. Two examples on one day of how every election is going to be so vitally important. And so we'll hit all of these topics and more along the way. And of course, as Alicia's been doing already, we invite you to jump into the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube and send us your thoughts, or use that Civic Media app to text us and we'll get them here and maybe pop them up on screen. Well, I mean, I won't. Parker Olson will. He's the man with the buttons and the switches and the knobs, and he's there in Madison with I thought maybe you'd bring in like a flamingo shirt or something more festive as we head into the July 4th weekend. What do we got there?
Yeah, we got palm trees, beach
palm trees work.
Beach yeah. balls and okay. little surfer dudes.
There. That's yeah. fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So first off, I get to thank Parker Olson publicly, because tomorrow will be a best of show. And I have not had help like this before with Parker. I mean, he's a wizard. He is a wizard, and the show is already, it's already done. I would be working on it until 9 o'clock the night before. Ask Luke Mathers. He will confirm this. Parker at one point sent me a note yesterday because we'd already missed one Luke imposed deadline. And he did not like, he said, this gives me heartburn. And I sent him back a note that said, deadlines are cute. Deadlines are, you're anchoring the 6 o'clock news and the news starts at 6 o'clock, whether you're in that studio or not. That's a deadline. A deadline of, you know, turn in these tapes by noon. You know, if it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
it's okay.
The thing is that I come from having been in management at a newspaper for 2 years.
Yeah.
And at a college newspaper where students are students and don't believe in deadlines in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I totally get it. It's not, part of it is indeed a function of age, but what that means isn't that you feel like you have privilege with age, but that you've seen enough instances of what really is, you know, a deadline, and others where, okay, you have this much wiggle room, or on this one, you have this much wiggle room, or on this one, that's not even really a deadline at all. That's so completely artificial. And you just feel like you have a pretty good idea of where the target actually is. And so basically I'm the pilot. He's sitting behind me in the cockpit and I'm just going, trust me, I'm going to stick the landing.
I am kicking the back of your chair.
Yes. And he's kicking the back of the chair. But the thing of it is, while I pretend to be the pilot, he was actually getting the work done. And so we will have a best of show tomorrow, complete with, by the way, free ticket Friday. So when I talk about, you know, sending us text messages through the app, there will be a keyword mentioned tomorrow where you can win 4 tickets to a Brewers game. And I know I can't tell you the keyword yet, but I can tell you the specific date for the game, because these free ticket Fridays are for specific game dates. And so tomorrow, Friday, they will be 4 tickets for the game next week, Friday, against the Washington Nationals. So if you can go to that game and are interested in 4 tickets, then listen tomorrow for the keyword to text in and win. The Brewers yesterday split a doubleheader with the New York Mets. They won the first game 7-2. Joey Ortiz with a grand slam. And then game two, we found out that Jacob Mizorowski, breaking news, Parker, he's human.
I didn't think he
gave
was.
Up a grand slam.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I don't have the final score in front of me, but was it also 7-2?
Seven to three. Back to back homers and rescored, I think, after.
Yep, a grand slam followed by another home run, and Jacob Mizorowski did not last nearly as long in that game as, you know, we would have thought. For a guy that was so lights out in those first three starts, and they were great, and he's still good, but he did give up 5 runs, 5 hits, and 3 walks over just 3 2/3 innings. So
you're bound to have something go wrong.
Oh, you've got to.
I am perfectly fine with this.
If I know, yes, as am I.
And also, it was one inning that was bad.
Yes, he had settled down quite nicely. And so the third and final game of the Brewers-Mets series will be this evening, this Thursday evening, 5:35. The pregame begins on several Civic Media stations. Then it's off to Miami for the Independence Day weekend, playing the Marlins Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday afternoons. And then they will be back home come Monday for a series against the LA Dodgers. So a lot of good baseball still to come as we head toward the All-Star break. All right, more about today's big stories coming up. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, you say you want to give me a birthday present. All right, that's fine. You can do that. Here's what you do. Head over to Spotify and subscribe to our little show as a podcast, something that you can listen to on demand in case you your work shift changes. You know, you're not up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You want to catch something and listen to it a little later on. Head over to Spotify and subscribe to that, or Apple as well. Or, you know, you could double the pleasure of birthday gifts and subscribe to my Sunday morning newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner, and subscribe there. That would be great. We're not supposed to talk about these things, but because it's my birthday, I will say that, you know, we have goals that we should grow our Spotify by this much. We should grow our listenership by this much. We should grow our newsletter subscriptions by so much. So there, I'm going to actually connect the dots and say, you want to do something nice for this program? If you're not subscribing to one of these by now, head over to Spotify or head over and do the newsletter and pod this program, as I like to say. I was chastised in the commercial break by Parker Olson because I gave you some of the Brewers news, but apparently I missed something big.
That you've been on.
You've
been on this.
The return of Big Woo. Brandon Woodruff does have a date where he's scheduled to return. Yeah. Sunday in Miami as part of the series. Brandon Woodruff is coming back after, how many days did I say, Kurt Hogg of the Journal Sentinel? 652 days later from the last time Brandon Woodruff pitched, which coincidentally
also
was in Miami. Yeah. He will be pitching again, hopefully all back from his shoulder surgery. But speaking of shoulder surgery, and here's maybe why I wasn't thinking of Brandon Woodruff, was seeing the news yesterday that Garrett Mitchell is officially done for the season. He had his own shoulder surgery he was coming back from, slid too hard into a base. I shouldn't say too hard. He slid hard into a base and basically tore it all up and has to have shoulder surgery again. And they are not setting any expectations for him to come back this season. They were just like, it's your second surgery. It's going to take longer. Take your time. We'll see you at spring training next year. So he's going to go way longer than 652 days from the time that he was a very productive everyday member of the lineup being back and active again. So it's unfortunate, but look, if Brandon Woodruff has a good return, not just Sunday, but beyond, well, then I can be hopeful again for, you know, a Garrett Mitchell as well. But there's just been so many injuries.
It's been hard.
And yet we're still doing okay, you know? We're still right up there in the thick of the hunt against the Cubs. And, you know, we'll have a nice series to watch in Miami over the weekend. So, again, we'll get all of that done. By the way, speaking of the Sunday morning newsletter, we have a question of the week. And this past Sunday, it was, who will be the Republican nominee for governor? It's a question that takes on a little bit more relevance now that the state budget was signed early this morning, because Governor Evers had said he will not make any announcement on whether he's running next year for a third term until after the budget is done. Now, budget is done, by the way. Not only did he sign it at 1:30 this morning, he put out a whole bunch of line item vetoes. And I looked through them quickly, and there's definitely something there about the UW Green Bay, or not the UW Green Bay, the Green Bay Correctional Facility that he vetoed. He vetoed several other local earmarks, not for the sake of vetoing local earmarks, but because they should have been funded through other, you know, pools of money, is basically what he said. So I'm still processing the vetoes myself, but he did get it signed. He did get it vetoed. And so the legislature will have so much time to override the vetoes. That, of course, won't happen because Republicans don't have nearly a 2/3 majority anymore. And so the budget will be all done. And then we wait to see what Governor Evers says about whether he'll run for a third term next year. But our question this week was, whatever happens with Governor Evers, who will be the Republican nominee just over a year from now? Will it be Eric Hovde? Will it be Tim Michaels? Will it be Tom Tiffany? Will it be, you know, Josh Shulman, the Washington County executive? Or will it be some other rich guy who, like Hovde and Michaels before them, said, well, I've got a big checkbook and I'm going to make Donald Trump like me, you know, basically another Tony Weed, to come in and just waltz into a seat based on the power of Donald Trump's charisma? Sorry, I threw up in my mouth a little bit there. But, you know, it could happen. So That's what we asked, and you can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put something in the comment section, and as I write up next Sunday's newsletter later today, we'll put in some of your thoughts, some of the things that people had to say about it. Yes, I did actually put a couple in today's show notes. From Susan, I don't care who they run. The people of Wisconsin need to stand up against anyone who would bow to Trump, his administration, and their agenda. And then there's William up in Frederick, who said they will pick the most Trumpy candidate who can substantially fund their own campaign, since Elon may be a little tighter with the bankrolling this time around, which is true. And then as I'm looking at my tally here, it is roughly evenly split between people who think it'll be Hovde, Michaels, Tom Tiffany, some other rich guy, and don't care, or none of the above. There is no clubhouse leader on that particular one. So if you want to make your two cents known, then by all means, send us a note or get in the comment sections and let us know what you think is going to happen with the governor's race next year. I was just double checking the goings on in Congress here, and Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York, he began speaking just before 4 o'clock our time. And he's now well past the two-hour mark. Now, they don't really have filibusters, per se, over in the House. But the last speech always goes to the leader, the minority leader, the speaker. And they can speak for as long as they want. So Hakeem Jeffries is just reminding all of the Republicans in the chamber of all the damage this bill is going to do to Medicaid and to rural hospitals and to incomes and to the economy and to the national debt, and really making the salient points that are going to be used against them next year if they really vote for this big, bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. More after this. You're up north. You know, for all the talk about the Independence Day weekend, it's easy to forget that right here in Chippewa Falls next week will be the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And we're looking forward to welcoming Todd Alba from Civic Media, who's coming up here to do his shows Thursday and Friday from up here on the fairgrounds in Chippewa Falls. And I will be along for the ride as well. So if you're anywhere in the vicinity of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, come see us next week. We'd love to be able to say hi in person. But in the meantime, I can at least thank people like Mary here, who put up a happy birthday greeting. And here's Annette, who put up a happy birthday comment on Facebook. And then there's Roger, who says, happy birthday, Pat. Next time you watch Grumpy Old Men, remember, it isn't a movie. It's become a training video. Amen, brother.
That's a great documentary.
It is a documentary, yes. The two great documentaries of our time that we thought were just films were Idiocracy and Grumpy Old Men, and here we've arrived at them. Reminder, tomorrow we'll have a Best Of program, but Free Ticket Friday will go on as well, so you could win Milwaukee Brewers tickets tomorrow, so be listening for that. I know I would be, but I might sleep in. Although sleeping in for me might be 6 a.m. I might actually get to catch all the work that Parker's done this week to put together a fine collection, including if you need no other reason to listen, Parker has put together the best of Melissa Kay's Pigeon Quest.
Pigeon Quest.
We missed her this week.
She left us hanging. We have a real cliffhanger going into the holiday weekend here, as far as what's going on with that. So, but at least if you're not up to speed, we'll set you up like a good old fashioned, you know, serial series back in the day. We will get you set with Pigeon Quest tomorrow as part of that show. Over on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, I have a new article that's up there about the budget bills, specifically the federal budget. But the article is called Wisconsin's Winners, Losers, and Liars, The Big Beautiful Budget Mess and Chaos in Congress, the ways that President Trump's mega bill will affect Wisconsin, primarily through Medicaid and health care cuts, but through other measures as well. But before we get to some of the details on that, I want to play a couple of audio clips from both the federal and state budget debates. And let me start with Derek Van Orden and Medicaid, because this is somebody who has, I mean, again, the man has anger issues, and you know, showed it again just yesterday using, again, a word I can't use on the radio to describe people who you know, accuse them of just doing whatever it is that Donald Trump wants. I mean, it was a severe case of projection that he had going there. But Van Orden has been giving very, shall we say, mixed signals on the federal budget, saying on the one hand, he is fully supportive of the bill, but he also sent a note to Governor Evers yesterday urging him to sign or pass and sign a state budget without delay because it includes a provision that would expand Wisconsin's Medicaid provider tax and allow the state to collect additional federal Medicaid funds. But that's going to be going away in the federal bill. Lawrence Andrea from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has details if you'd like to read more about it. Van Orden wrote in letters to Evers, "As you are aware, timely enactment is especially critical this year due to the proposed increase in the state provider tax, which must be effectuated before the anticipated signing of the One Big Beautiful Bill on or around July 4th, 2025. Delaying the state budget enactment beyond July 3rd risks losing vital opportunities for the state's healthcare system and the Wisconsinites who rely on it." Well, here's what they mean by this. There is a provision in the budget that would expand the state's tax on hospitals from 1.5% to 6%. And then what happens is that additional money that's received, it unlocks federal matching funds that come in and help reduce costs for everybody. But once Trump signs the federal bill, it will lock in the lower rate and prevent the state from collecting more federal matching funds. There would be a way for Derek Van Orden to avoid looking like he's playing both sides of the fence on this issue, among with others. And that would be to oppose the bill. I mean, oppose anything that's going to cut Medicaid, oppose anything that's going to cut rural health care. How do I know that that's possible? Because he said so himself. Here's some audio from Derek Van Orden back in March.
In rural areas doesn't mean that. So just because we live in rural areas doesn't mean that high quality health care should be rarely accessible to us. I have very, very few hard lines when it comes to these issues that we talk about regularly. One of them is this, that I've been crystal clear with the leadership in the House here. If during this budget reconciliation process, they're going to try to cut rural health care, I am not on board. I will not be on board with a package that does that. If anybody is trying to cut any type of rural health care, it's just not going to happen on my watch. In rural areas, doesn't mean.
Spoiler alert. It happened on his watch. The line was not so hard after all. It was not crystal clear after all. Instead, he was, along with all the other spelunkers, caved on the big, strong words that were given ahead of time and is more than happy to vote for a package that is going to lead to all kinds of rural hospital closures in states where they did not increase their hospital provider tax and did not unlock those federal matching funds soon enough and are now seeing an acceleration in rural hospital closures. Now, this is all part of, obviously, a convoluted healthcare system. It does not have to be this complex, but it is. And so you have to know, you know, where the rules are. You have to unlock the funds. It's almost like a video game. Mario's got to jump at the right time and punch the little box and unload some more coins. You got to know where that is if that's the system, if that's how it works. But meanwhile, over in the state legislature, State Senate President Mary Felskowski of the Tomahawk area does not like all of these games. And despite being the Senate president and legislative Republicans negotiating with Governor Evers on this state budget that passed overnight, she was a no vote on it and had some very harsh words to say about Governor Evers and those nasty special interests involved in health care funding. How dare they try to unlock more federal funds to help with rural health care? Give a listen to Mary Felskowski and who she says are the special interests.
It's not free money. It's taxpayers paying this in. And it's still taxpayer funded. It's still a burden on the constituents of the state of Wisconsin. They're paying federal taxes too.
Can you still beat this drum in the fall and get reforms later?
I've been beating this drum for 4 years, AJ. I'm not stopping now. Of course I'm going to beat this drum. But that means you have to have a governor who's not in bed with special interest, like the hospitals, to actually sign a reform.
Oh my goodness. Special interests like the hospitals. Okay. Special interests. Wall Street hedge funds. Oil companies. I could go on and on about the special interests that you maybe want to stand up to in Wisconsin, especially in rural Wisconsin. The hospitals that are hanging on by their fingernails. I mean, look, I know Mary Felskowski is one of those who also is rumored to be a potential candidate for a governor next year. And, you know, her disdain for the governor, you know, comes dripping out in spades. But to say that the hospitals are some kind of a special interest because they're trying to get whatever they can. And she says, well, it's not free money. It's tax money. We know it is. We pay our taxes. That's why we want our tax dollars to work for us. We want our tax dollars to keep our hospitals open. We want our tax dollars to ensure that we have health care here. We want our tax dollars to ensure that we don't face poverty because of an accident, an injury, an illness, a layoff. And yet that's exactly what's coming under this bill. And thankfully, the state budget bill tries to mollify it a little bit, but Mary Felskowski voted no because of, you know, those nasty special interests. Just how much is being cut from Medicaid funding nationwide? We can't even say. The numbers have been switching so much. If in my article, it says $900 billion in Medicaid cuts. It may have now reached $1 trillion or $1.1 trillion. It initially started at $800 billion in Medicaid cuts back when Derek Van Orden was saying nobody's benefits are going to be cut a nickel. Well, no, it's going to be a lot more than a nickel. There's going to be the loss of nursing home coverage. There's going to be the loss of pregnancy care coverage. There's going to be the loss of coverage in the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP. There will be rural hospital closures because Medicaid funding was, again, one of the few things keeping them afloat. There will be loss of coverage for substance abuse and addiction. And it isn't just Medicaid. It's the Affordable Care Act. It's been estimated that about 17 million Americans could lose their coverage. And I will remind people again and again and again that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, it was a Republican idea. It was the Republican model for healthcare. When folks on the left wanted, you know, single-payer or government-run healthcare, folks on the right said, no, no, we will never support that. What we might support is using tax dollars to help people afford private insurance. The private sector will take care of us. The for-profit corporations will take care of us. Just give people the ability to use their tax dollars to afford health insurance. And so that's what became of the Affordable Care Act. Except that then once it had President Obama's name on it, well, I mean, now it was something to oppose. So all these years later, when they could have been strengthening something that helped people afford insurance on the private sector, they have been tearing it down. And now we're going to rip away in this new bill the subsidies that make private health insurance affordable for 17 million Americans. More than 313,000 people in Wisconsin, 313,000 people could afford policies last year on the Affordable Care Act marketplace. And that's going to be ripped away in this bill. And those are people who deserve their health insurance. These are not undocumented immigrants. This is not waste, fraud, and abuse. These are American workers. These are Wisconsin families. But again, folks don't know. As they learn more, they do not like this. I mean, look, if you're, you can, It's one thing to not like this if you're Mary Falskowski. And by the way, the clip from her came from CBS 58 and AJ Byatt-Poor, and we thank them for that. But as people learn what's really in the bill, oh, do they not like it? We mentioned Quinnipiac the other day, 55% oppose. Let's see, Pew, 49%. A Fox poll, 59% of people surveyed oppose it as they learn what's in it. The people who don't know what's in it, the people who take it on blind faith that Donald Trump is going to take care of us, or they are in for a surprise. But it is really telling that the Affordable Care Act, people opposed it until they learned what was in it. And then they liked it. And now people, you want the Affordable Care Act. They want it to get better, not worse. But in this case, the reason Donald Trump was rushing so hard to have this photo op for July 4th, and what finally got those final Republican votes in the middle of the night last night, was knowing that if they didn't get this done by July 4th, more people were going to find out, and they were not going to be happy. And it's going to be signed now, and they are not going to be happy. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, let's get to today's history lesson here on this special day, July 3rd, 1964. Oh, wait, no, that was the year I showed up on this mortal coil. CT writes, happy birthday to my mom and also, I guess, Pat. Okay, yeah. I'll take that. Yeah, that's all right.
I guess mom is a little more important.
Yeah. Yep, from John, happy birthday, Pat. May you have many more. All right, here's the thing about the history lesson on my birthday. There's some stuff there that's not happy, which I'll get to in just a moment. Here's one of the happy ones, Huey Lewis in the News. I'm always going to be good with sharing my birthday with Huey Lewis in the News because it was on this day in 1985. Oh, my God, that was 40 years ago today. 40 years ago today, Back to the Future, starring Michael J. Fox as a time-traveling teenager, opened in theaters. Huey Lewis was part of the soundtrack to that. So, all right, so keep that in mind while I tell you that not all the news was happy on this day. In 1969, on my fourth birthday, Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones was found dead in his swimming pool in England. 2 years later, on this day in 1971, my seventh birthday, Jim Morrison of the Doors was found dead in a bathtub at the age of 27. So there's all that. There are also some folks who are not around anymore to tell you about. Let's start first with born this day in 1940 was Fontella Bass with her big soul hit. Fontella Bass was born this day in 1940, passed away in 2012 at the age of 72. Let's see, there's also Laura Branigan, who gave us Gloria and many more songs. She was born this day in 1952, but passed away at the age of 52 back in 2004. Let's go to Judith Durham, who was lead singer of The Seekers, who was born in Australia this day in 1943. Judith Durham reached number two with this song in 1966. Couldn't get past the Monkees' I'm a Believer, which was the number one song this day in 1966. Actress Olivia Munn is 45 years old today. Singer Johnny Lee, who gave us Looking for Love, is 79 years old today. I feel bad for that guy. He's got the perfectly good urban cowboy song, Looking for Love, and Eddie Murphy went and completely took the ownership away from him, doing the Buckwheat Wookin' Panub instead. So he's got to share credit now with Eddie Murphy for the rest of his days. But Johnny Lee is 79 years old today. Country singer Aaron Tippin is 73 years old today. His big hit was You've Got to Stand for Something, or You'll Fall for Anything. Happy 36th birthday to singer Elle King. Who is, here's our celebrity trivia. Whose daughter is she? Whose daughter is Elle King? Who's her dad? Although you wouldn't know. You didn't watch Rob Schneider on Saturday Night Live, which would have been, again, like 35, 36 years ago.
Yeah,
especially when he was like the copy guy making copies. Anyway, his daughter, Elle King, 36, and has had a string of hits. And one wedding to tell you about, and that would be 4 years ago today. Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton got married at Shelton's Ranch in Oklahoma. They met in 2014 when they were judges on The Voice and started dating a year later. Let's see. From Robin Tigerton, today was my Grandma Griepentrog's birthday, who passed away in August of 2010. See, all kinds of cool people have a birthday like this. And there's nothing on the national day calendar of note. I mean, Chocolate Wafer Day, if anything. That's about as close as we come. But we do have, and we'll always have for all of July, and how could I miss this first couple of days, Lasagna Awareness Month.
Ho-ho!
It's lasagna, not lasagna month. I will never understand why it's this way.
Just
it's
awareness.
Lasagna. So could we have the appropriate music bed for this? For lasagna awareness?
Oh, sure.
Okay. No, that's not it. Is this the lasagna?
Yeah.
This is the lasagna song. Oh, yeah. I wanted the mysterious music about being aware of lasagna. But
there's a mystery. What?
Yeah, the Unsolved Mysteries one. The theme.
I don't know what that is.
You played it just yesterday for us. The mysterious music that plays when you've got a lot of stuff moving around in your head. It's one of the hot buttons.
Oh, trust are you me, talking about the...
There it is.
Oh.
Bring that up for a moment. Are you aware of your lasagna? Are you aware of whether it has ground beef and Italian sausage or just ground beef? Are you aware of whether it's mozzarella cheese and Parmesan together? Are you using ricotta or cottage cheese? These are the things you should be aware of during Lasagna Awareness Month. Boy, that music bed died in a hurry, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Then there was the other clip, which was as we were testing out new bumper music. And I love how you otherwise will defer to Mr. Mathers in all sorts of ways, but you are so quick to throw him under the bus that he suggested this tune as bumper music because it's called Lasagna what?
What's Lasagna Sunrise, if you would like to hear a little more.
Bring it up. Let's hear it. Lasagna Sunrise.
He said yesterday, as we talked about this, that apparently I didn't get far enough into the song
for it to be with good. With the Yaz flute.
Yeah. I would like to point out, I am a minute into this song right now, which is 3 minutes.
Okay, good.
So we're going to have
to run for it's going to run for the final 30 seconds of this segment here. So as we wait for it to get better. But it's got a good elevator vibe.
Yeah.
I'm not really hearing the lasagna.
That's what upsets me about it, Pat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So CT, the lasagna is out there. So we're aware of our lasagna. So there you go, folks. July 3rd, after hearing all that, am I the best thing to result from it? Well, then we're setting the bar pretty low. Much more after the news in the second hour of these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.